Money Radio, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today. And joining us now, it's a pleasure to welcome Michael Eastham. He is a CPA, also a PFS, Personal Financial Specialist, and he has written a new book, Common Sense Income Strategies. Common Sense Income Strategies, Simple Step-by-Step Ways to Maximize Your Retirement by Michael Eastham. Michael, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Sinclair. It's great to be with you.
You work in the industry.
I'm in the financial services industry. I'm a financial advisor in my own investment advisory practice here in the Orlando, Florida area, and it's called Fellowship Financial Group.
And you specialize in retirement specifically, or also pre-retirement, rather than a broader subset of the financial industry. You refer to it as the red zone. We think of the red zone
right.
as the 20-yard line in for football. Here you're talking about maybe 10 years away from retirement, people heading for retirement, right?
That's exactly right. It's that time period where if you've spent all your life saving money, then it's that time period where you have to start looking at other strategies to support income in retirement. And I kind of liken it to a sports game where you're in the big game, you know, basketball game, you're 20 points ahead, and there's 2 minutes left. Are you going to be taking three-point shots, or are you going to be trying to run the clock out? And that's the same type of an idea that that I share with retirees or pre-retirees in that retirement red zone, that you've got to establish some sort of a defensive strategy just to make sure that you don't have a major problem.
All right, let's stick with the sports analogy for a moment. I can't tell you how many times I've watched a football game. The team is leading by a couple of touchdowns. They go in to prevent defense. Next thing you know, the other team has scored a couple of quick touchdowns on them, and it's a tied game.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the point that I'm trying to make. It's that red zone in retirement is a dangerous time period. So you've got to make sure that the strategy that you've employed is supporting the goals that you have for retirement, and it's not in direct conflict. So we spend a lot of time, Sinclair, talking to people about what their goals for retirement are, because once we understand the goals or the things that they're passionate about or the things that all of their life savings really means to them, whether it's travel or visiting kids or volunteering at church or community activities, those things are all very important to people. What they don't think about is that when you step out into retirement, well, your paycheck is not there anymore. So something has to take that place. And your paycheck was generated based on work that you did. So now you have your financial assets that should be working for you and not what I refer to as sipping pina coladas on the beach.
There seems to be two ways that people can mess up that red zone approach to retirement. One is being too defensive and not continuing to invest. The other is getting a little bit too greedy, because greed can lead to high risk.
Yeah, that's actually a very good observation. And I have a lot of folks that come into my office. I call it the bookends of investments. You know, they've got some money just sitting in cash at the bank, and then they have some money that's out in the aggressive growth world, making in mutual funds or common stocks, that's just hoping for the market to continue to go up. And that's kind of like standing with one foot in a bucket of ice water that is, you know, just a hair above freezing, and the other foot standing in water that's 211 degrees. And then looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, on average, I'm pretty warm. You and I both know that's not the way it works. So what you have to do is you have to change the strategy so that it's more supportive of someone who's approaching those retirement years when you do need to replace your income. Because retirement really is about income, as I mentioned before. It's about replacing the income that you had from your employment, from your job or from your business. And understanding how to create that predictable income stream is very important.
Well, this is a really tough time for a lot of people who might be looking for ways to generate income, because we are in still, even with the Federal Reserve recently raising rates, we are still in a historically low interest rate environment. That makes it tough. And as a result, I think a lot of people chase yield.
Yeah, and that's very dangerous. You know, you hit it right on the head. Too many people are out there taking more risk than they think, and too much risk for what their assets would allow. And so, again, you have to. It's so important to make sure that you're working with somebody who understands the income world, because really there's a whole universe of investment options that exist out there that are designed for income. It's just that in this world of trying to chase that 10% average total return that the stock market theoretically provides over the long run, it can be a very dangerous way to go. You just have to make sure that you're looking at the right investments, or at least you're working with someone who understands those. And honestly, that's one of the biggest reasons why I wrote Common Sense Income Strategies, is to help get the word out there of how does the market really work? How does the stock market really work? And if you're a retiree or a pre-retiree in that retirement red zone, what's the best way to prepare for retirement without overexposing yourself to risk or having one foot in that that bucket of ice water, like I mentioned a few minutes ago?
You know, you talk about the stock market, and a lot of folks are going to say, well, if you just stay in the stock market and stay invested, you're going to get this return. Somebody is going to quote you 7%, somebody will say 8%, whatever it may be. But it seems as if actual investors in the stock market never quite get that return.
I think that's a great point. And it actually reminds me of a situation where people don't ask the question. A lot of times financial advisors don't ask the question of a client because, look, financial advisors, and this is my industry. So, you know, when I originally started trying to look into investments and things like that, well, I was the same way. I wanted to find the thing that provided the highest return. But the return is based on hindsight. The fact of the matter is that every single one of those sources that we read that give us information based on hindsight, they say past performance is no guarantee of future results. The problem is that people tend to ignore that, and they use hindsight as an indicator of the future gains. And an example that I give you of that question, how much income do you need in retirement? In 2008, I had a 68-year-old widow come into my office who had lost 40%. And I asked her what happened, and she told me that when her husband died, he was the one that did all the investing, and she went to talk to an advisor who looked at the account and said, well, you should be earning 10% because that's what the market over the long run will deliver. Well, by the time she got so sick to her stomach, she had to pull the money out. She had already lost 40% of the money. And I said to her, did your advisor ever talk to you about the income amount that you need? And she said no. So we did the math and found out that she really only needed to generate 4% interest in dividends in order to make the money last and live comfortably for the rest of her life. So think about the difference in risk level between investing for 4% and investing for 10%. It's huge, and it can have a huge impact on people's ability to accomplish the goals in retirement.
And really, you think about what the stock market has actually done since the beginning of the millennium. Over the past 17 years, and it is not that historic number that we hear of 7 or 8%. It's not even 4%.
No, you're exactly right. If you do the math, and it's not hard math to do, then it's really about 2% per year. And one question that I like to ask people is, would you want to take any risk at all for just 2%?
No.
It's the answer I get every time.
And in fact, many people look then to bonds as a safe and secure way to get a return. Unfortunately, you're not going to get much return right now. And a lot of people don't really understand bond investments and instead are going in bond funds.
That's another great observation. And I believe firmly that if you're going to use bonds, and when we use bonds for our clients, then we generally use individual bonds specifically because you have more control. You know, there are two very important contractual guarantees or protections that exist if you own an individual bond, and that is, you know what the interest rate's going to be, you know what you're going to get paid all throughout the life of the bond, and then when the bond matures, barring any, you know, default on the part of the issuer, you're going to get your principal back. Those are the contractual guarantees. Inside of a mutual fund, neither one of those guarantees exist, and most people are not aware of that. That's a scary place to be, because what that means is that yeah, bond funds are generally considered to be safer than stock funds, but that means that when the market drops by 40%, you'll only lose 30. And do you really want to lose any money, or is losing less really a good, successful strategy?
And also, I think a lot of people are confused with what happens to bonds and bond funds as interest rates rise, and it appears as if we are moving into a rising interest rate environment.
Could be. You're exactly right.
So let's explain the risk that's involved to bonds and bond funds in a rising interest rate environment.
Well, sure. I mean, if you think about it, we see the value of bonds, it actually increases when interest rates go down. So the opposite is true. When interest rates go up, well, the value of bond funds goes down. And the last 30 years, we've been in a declining interest rate environment. That means that bond funds, even in bad times in the market, bond funds have done historically well, because your bond fund manager can buy and sell in a market value that helps them to make money when they sell the bonds. But the opposite is true. That's been a tailwind to the bond fund industry. I firmly believe, because of the interest rate environment that we're in right now, either a minimalized interest rate or a growing interest rate environment like you just described, well, that tailwind is going to turn into a headwind for bond funds, because when interest rates start to go up, the market value of the bonds goes down. They work in the opposite direction. That means that what was a gain for the last 30 years is going to be a loss in the years to come.
Okay, are we headed towards a bond bubble?
Well, you know, the bond bubble, to me, really speaks to the bond mutual fund industry. And yes, I think there is concern about a bond bubble in the bond fund industry. But if you hold individual bonds, then that's not really a concern, because as long as the company is paying their interest and they've got the cash to do that, then you know that you're going to get income. So that's why they call it a fixed income security. And you also know that when the bond matures, that you're going to get your principal back. So any of the white noise, the market going up and down, the market value going up and down, doesn't really affect you if your intention is to hold the bond to maturity. It's just that bond funds do not hold bonds to maturity in many cases. They're buying and selling actively because they have to manage to the liquidity needs of the fund. And that's what creates that bond bubble, is when people end up selling when they should be just holding on.
All right, so we've taken a look at stocks, a high risk, no guarantee. We've taken a look at bonds, and that may not be as secure as people think, and low yields at this time, and higher yields are creating a conundrum for the investor. What's left?
Well, there are a number of things that are on the, you know, there are some things that are insured or guaranteed that provide guarantees. I mean, certainly CDs, but those are on the low end of the spectrum. But there are some government bonds, longer-term government bonds are in the twos right now, and they're certainly not knocking it out of the park. Fixed annuities could work on the insured or guaranteed side for folks who are looking for stable, predictable income with a lifetime guarantee. Those are some of the things that are insured that have predictable income streams, and there are a number of different types of fixed annuities, whether they're fixed or whether they're indexed annuities, or a qualified longevity annuity could work for some folks trying to avoid pulling money out during retirement years to save money for down the road. You know, you can move up the risk scale some to some of the uninsured things, and you have corporate bonds, individual corporate bonds, because they're still in the 4 to 4.5%, maybe 5% periodically interest rates. Preferred stocks are also a good option as well. They're kind of bond-like. They pay a fixed dividend. Depending on the type of preferred stock you have, there may be a call feature that gives you some floor protection against loss of your principal.
All right, we'll take a look at some other common sense income strategies with Michael Eastham as we continue in just a moment. Money Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We're talking with Michael Eastham. He is the author of Common Sense Income Strategies, simple step-by-step ways to maximize your retirement. And you have a website, commonsenseincomestrategies.com.
commonsenseincomestrategies.com. It's named, of course, after the book. You can learn a little bit more about the book. You can order the book right there. You can also download a white paper that we put together called The Red Zone of Retirement that'll help folks to understand what are the things that they should be doing if they're in that 10 years prior to retirement. And then, of course, there's a link to our radio program that I host each week, The Retirement Income Doctor, and then our website. So you can interact with our team through that. You can order the book, learn more about the book itself as well.
CommonSenseIncomeStrategies.com is the website, and that goes along with the title of the book, Common Sense Income Strategies. Michael, it seems as if one of the key things we can do is to understand what our retirement really factually might look like, and that's a lot easier to say than actually accomplish, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the reasons why up front, when I sit down with a new client, trying to understand what their goals are is so key. Because if I know what their goals are, then we can help them develop a strategy that supports those goals. If you're investing for growth, using mutual funds primarily are designed for growth or individual common stocks, then there's a real likelihood that in the market downturn, you're going to have to change your goals. There's nothing worse than being, a few years or 5 years into retirement only to realize that you have to go back to work. So that's what can happen if you're too heavily invested for growth when you should be more heavily invested for income if you're not careful.
If someone is in that retirement red zone, maybe 5-10 years away from retirement, what mm-hmm. are a couple of front burner things that they could be doing right now? What should be first of the list?
Yeah, great question. Number one is to take some time and think about what's important to you in retirement. Is it the balance in your account, or is it really generating income? That's a second thing is, what do you need when you retire? What are the goals, number one, and what income level do you need in retirement? Then the third thing is to make sure that you look at the allocation of your investments. And we go into this in detail in Common Sense Income Strategies so folks can learn what do we need to look at in order to determine do we have too much exposure to growth when we should be moving more towards the income. And then that helps you to determine what does that transition look like? I mean, if you're 10 years away from retirement, that might be a little bit different from someone who's 8 years away. But that'll be a lot different from someone who's a year or less away from retirement. So you may need to make some more drastic changes the closer you are to retirement. And Common Sense Income Strategies helps people to do that.
Yeah. A lot of folks are looking at it and saying, there's a gap between where I am and where I want to be.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it as well. And how do I fill that gap? In fact, when we talk to folks about their income needs, we try to help them understand some, because a lot of people don't take the time to really think about how much income they need in retirement. We help them walk through that so that we can figure out what that gap is and what's the best strategy that we can put in place to help them fill that gap when they need it to be filled.
Common Sense Income Strategies, simple step-by-step ways to maximize your retirement by Michael Eastham. And there's a website if you'd like to follow up with more information, commonsenseincomestrategies.com, commonsenseincomestrategies.com. And that's the title of the book by Michael Eastham, our guest today. Michael, good info. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Sinclair. I really appreciate the time.